Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
That's what they need.
So
they need more people.
I think what I think if you're just asking blanket, would ESPN like to have all the rights? Sure, but it was obvious that ESPN was waiting for the company to fail.
You think they're going to be able to buy it cheap here?
They don't want even at like these reduced rates. I don't think they want that.
They definitely would want like the Cardinals, the Braves, some of these bigger brands,
right? And they kind of had available. That for a while, like where you could get like
the baseball part of it is always kind of the weirdest or most interesting,
most confusing, maybe.
Definitely the most confusing.
But you don't think the Grizzlies would start doing their own games? The infrastructure, everybody works on those Grizzlies broadcasts. Like those are Memphis people, right? That are working on the majority
yes.
of all of this
yep.
stuff. Behind the scenes and all of that. So to pull off doing those games, they could do the games. They have CJ Hertz joining us a little bit later on from Grind City Media, right? They have their own kind of media conglomerate that they're trying to build. Well, why not?
They have a media arm, but I think the cost of running your own, there's no way that they would make the revenue to justify the cost.
But are they doing it now with the cost that they are currently? Like, is it marked differently as far as, is this a marketing budget?
I think the Grizzlies deal was so low that they didn't take the haircut that some of the other teams did. Like, I think the Grizzlies, like, they didn't get an increase, but I think that theirs was roughly stayed the same of their rights. So, like, it wasn't much of a change.
Well, what would you like to see happen? What would be ideal for the consumer? Because we're going through this era of nothing is great for the consumer. And
I mean, I think what I would like to see is some version of what the Jazz did, but I also am practical and understand if the Jazz can't make it work when you have a billionaire owner that is in the tech space and he's in the data collection space, if that guy can't figure it out, I'm not sure that like we're going to figure that out, how to make money.
When you say it, if I just have, I mean, I know that I don't see the numbers, but you feel like it would be something that would make sense for a streaming service. It just really feels like you have your streaming service. Like, it just feels like you would have how many more subscribers or all
and
these people who are these fans of these different teams.
I think that's what's happening. I think it was always just going to be a waited out period and no one was ever going to come out and say it. But it was always just going to be, we have to let this thing fail. Once it fails, all these deals will get ripped up, and then we'll be able to probably go and sell it again. I think that's where it's headed.
It's if we're talking 30 different teams.
28 is what it seems like.
Around that.
And then
some of them are in the same market.
To your point, we're going to have to figure out the Knicks and the Lakers of it all.
But like, even being some of these rights together, like, why is it 18 to 20 cities, right, or some of the largest markets in the country,
yeah,
that you're talking about, that you'll be able to not force, but like if those people who live in those 18 to 20 markets that have these teams on these networks are going to need to buy your streaming service in order to watch their team. Like, I feel like there's some type of value there. There's got to be.
Unless you're just.
If you're Amazon.
Unless you're worried that people.
Even if you're Netflix.
We have started where people are. People have been bombarded with, you have to buy this, you have to buy that, and they're dropping out. I was reading another story the other day.
But for your
own team.
Is
there like a USB version of a digital antenna where you can, it's not like what you and I have where we have the digital antenna, it's like $20 and you can get the network. There appears now to be like a Fire Stick version of this.
Okay.
That's not one of these. these jailbreaked USB things that I've been seeing online, holy cow.
All right.
Again, you are technically, I think, committing a felony.
Oh, well, don't send
or potentially
link.
Get committing a felony. Listen, I still, my DirecTV just went through last week. I'm still paying. I'm still got satellite, baby. I'm there till the day that it dies. Not the day that I die. Hopefully the day that it dies. But I'm there.
Which one will come first?
But it seems like there are more people that are figuring out new ways to go over the air, and thus they're not willing to pay for all these subscription services. And like, if you look at it across the board, guys, I don't think it's any coincidence that ESPN, which has been basically one of the biggest cash of the networks, they've had more cash going into these bids than any of the other legacy broadcasters. And they basically said, all right, let's get TNT on the phone. All right, how's $250 million sound for these two playoff games? We'll maybe kick in a semifinal next year. Like, they're having to sell some of these games just to pay for the cost of what they've been paying for the rights. It's like, it all stems from the fact that they've overpaid for all of these rights. And I'm not saying just overpaying for college football, but it's like, they probably overpaid for the NBA. Like, why did ESPN in the end let the Major League Baseball TV deal run out and then basically go back and come up with another deal? It's like, well, they just saw, like, we have an opt-out at $500 million a year. Instead of doing that, like, let's see if we can get this thing down to $150 or $200 million a year. And that's basically what they did. So everyone's just kind of trying to renegotiate the rights fees that they have because they know they've overpaid.
No, I hear you, but if you're NBC and then the NBC just got, but like Amazon just got NBA, right? And it's a generic, I don't even know what day of the week it is. I do know they've got great coverage.
Fridays.
I've seen some great stuff when I've seen it. But
I think their main night's Friday.
But they just have the generic NBA. So they're just going for the NBA fan, right? Like, who's the person who's the NBA fan? Like a Chris Harrington out there, right? But like, most people are fans of a particular team.
Correct.
And it will, if you have that, this is the home of the Memphis Grizzlies and the Atlanta Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals. I feel like that is one of the subscriptions you will not give up. Like, you will, like, if you have to
okay,
have the
I
Amazon
the
one
problem
to subscribe
is, so
to
like,
those.
They kind of have that right now. So, like, if you don't want to, Amazon, if you don't want to pay FanDuel for their app, there is a way you can pay Amazon to watch Grizzlies games. I need to figure out, though, if you can be in market. I think out of market, you definitely can do it, but they have some version of...
But they're not the exclusive. There's other ways still to get it, so...
They're not exclusive,
you can
but,
still go directly to the FanDuel app. You can still go on your cable provider.
Right.
Like, if you were the exclusive home to watching all the games by these particular...
Okay, but
I'm saying that's more of an advantage
but here's the
for
question.
Amazon to have Would my you, team playing on there versus I don't know who's playing on there on Friday night.
It seems like the issue that they have is they kind of have that, and the data suggests, like, just having people buy team-specific is not enough of a motivator.
I think you'd have to be exclusive for it, but I see what you're saying. Like, it'd have to be a streaming service that's big enough where it
And then
it
if you're
sense.
Amazon, are you going to agree to let the team sell linear rights? Like, I can see where they're exclusive digital rights holders.
Mm-hmm.
But are you still, like, in that case, are you going to let the Grizzlies go and sell to, like we said, let's say they find a way to expand the deal
and
with Gray
on Channel
Media,
5. And,
or whatever, you know, they're on.
It would not be great because most people in Memphis would watch on Channel 5.
Right. And so why would you agree to do that deal?
It's hard. And it's this era where you can see everything to make it make dollars and cents is what, you know, it's because, I mean, it should be easy to access and easy to see. But I'm glad we've got Eric Hasseltine. I'm glad we got Eric Hasseltine. And just listen to the great Eric Hasseltine. Shout out to Eric. I saw him.
I think
over
for
the
rest of the year, you can talk me into it's not going to be that different. It's starting next year is where I think.
No, this seems like it's locked in. It's not going to crash out until the end of the NBA season.
Correct. There is a doomsday scenario where it could, but I think the league will try to figure out a way to avoid that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we get into the list. CJ Hurt also going to join us during the second hour. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Up at the bottom part of the hour, CJ Hurd of Grind City Media is going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Grizzlies-Wizards game. That was something that happened. Got another
Grizz and Wiz. Always one of my favorite games. Grizz, Wiz, Grizz, Jazz. I like the Z teams going after
just
each other.
Just a reminder, CJ McCollum is still just an all-time Grizz killer. Like, just forever and always will be. So we'll get his thoughts on that. Before we do any of that, let's get into the list. Bobby Petrina. All right, boys. When I saw the news from Pete Nakos, and this had been kind of rumored last week, but I didn't really know what to make of it. I didn't know if it was an internet thing of people just trying to, like, I didn't know if this was a version of Dylan Raiola into the transfer portal
to Texas Tech.
Got to go to Texas Tech so he can be another Mahomes cosplayer. I didn't really know how seriously to take it. But then when Pete Nakos had it, I was like, well, that guy's been pretty good on getting scoops. But I knew immediately I had to go to ProFootballTalk.com. Because I had to know what Florio had to say about it. And gentlemen, he did not disappoint. Bill Belichick is on the verge of hiring a new offensive coordinator in North Carolina. Via Pete Nakos of On3, Belichick is finalizing a deal with Bobby Petrino to replace Freddie Kitchens as the man in charge of the UNC offense. Petrino previously served as the head coach at Louisville and Arkansas. He also coached the Falcons in 2007, abruptly resigning in December of his first season to take the Arkansas job. Petrino and Chip Kelly reportedly were the two coaches Belichick was eyeing the most closely. The move, in our view, you're missing a Y there. The move, in our view, has no relevance to a potential return by Belichick to the NFL level if an opportunity arises. The question is whether an opportunity will arise. For now, and despite reports seemingly aimed at breathing life into the possibility, it seems like a long shot. Yes, King. Yes, King. The one place we're watching the most closely isn't any of the teams that have been mentioned elsewhere. We're keeping an eye on Tampa Bay for various reasons. First, Todd Bowles wasn't hired by a traditional source. He landed in the job by default after Bruce Arians resigned in late March. Second, the Buccaneers have imploded, going 1-6 after a 6-2 start. They're now at risk of yielding their 4-year hammer lock on the NFC South to the Panthers and missing the playoffs for the first time since 2019. Third, the Bucs have a history of creative, to put it kindly, and or unusual, to put it less kindly, coaching hires. Fourth, Belichick, we believe, has been eyeing that job. Last year, his consigliere, Mike Lombardi, tried to start a rumor that Bowles would be retiring. It seemed to be an effort by Lombardi to speak an opening for Belichick into existence. Regardless, that's all to be determined. For now, Belichick has determined to hire Petrino. Okay, so obviously, the fun thing about the Belichick era, I guess we also mentioned this, Belichick fired offensive coordinator and special teams coordinators, kept his defensive coordinator because apparently there was no issues there. You'll never guess the last name of the defensive coordinator.
This is a Kevin question because I know the answer.
What, Belichick?
It is. It is indeed a Belichick. Yeah. And I do also believe no other Lombardis have been fired on the staff. So
okay.
It appears the Belichicks and Lombardis are the only guys doing bang-up jobs.
Yeah, they're
there.
Doing a great job. Yeah.
The thing, though, that I find the most interesting, though, is A, Petrino and Belichick have never worked together, but also how is this going to gel because Petrino is not going to be the let's try and figure out ways to control the football.
I think he's wanting to be the coach in waiting. Like he feels like I think Petrino, right? If you're old Bobby, like, all right, well, this ain't gonna be long here with I don't think Belichick's will be here long. So I'm coming to try to take over in North Carolina when he gets out of here.
I guess the only pushback I would have against that is we thought the same thing was true at Arkansas, but I guess to your point, he did become the Arkansas head coach.
He got a shot, and
he did not get it full time, but he did get...
apparently for some reason Arkansas. I still think if I was Arkansas, I'd rather have Bobby Petrino than Ryan Silverfield. But thank goodness I'm not Arkansas because now Ryan Silverfield is gone. But
does anybody else find it weird that Silverfield now is like showcasing his family when like he wouldn't here?
Yeah, I mean, I get, you know, it comes with the getting the new job, right? I guess maybe he gets a new start, a fresh start, and I'm
happy for him. Like,
here's a question: what's going to happen? Like, if at a practice here, you know, and Jordan Hudson gets, she's driving herself to the practice to help be the assistant coach. She gets a flat tire, and Bobby Petrino comes by on his motorcycle and offers to give her a ride to the practice facility.
I think it's, if you're Petrino,
that's a scenario that could happen.
That might be safer because I don't believe that Bobby Petrino looked into the sun and spun out on said motorcycle. I believe he ran into said fiance of said blonde that was on the back of his motorcycle.
Ah, yes, that's right. Yeah,
strength and conditioning coach, and I think that's why he looked the way that he did. I also think though, if you're Petrino, that situation arises, like, are you really scared of Belichick being the one to beat you up?
No. Two old men fighting. But I'm saying it's a scenario. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the other question is Bobby going to have a quarterback to come with him?
That could be.
Because Talon Green, I think, is actually out of eligibility. And I do not think Gio Lopez is the quarterback Bobby Petrino would want. Yeah. Then it also becomes a question of how much money does North Carolina still have tied up into Gio Lopez? Because part of the reason he kept playing this year, despite being terrible, was they spent a lot of money. They were pot committed.
Yeah, and but I love this. I mean, anytime we can get some like coaching legends of like together, that it makes really no sense. It's like a random pairing that the AI make this hire or something. Like we know, but I'm ready for it. I'm ready for like anything that could maybe add some excitement to North Carolina. Like, how disappointing was North Carolina from an exciting storyline? The storylines were all before the season, and we didn't really get them. But now with Bobby Petrino, if he's going to be there with Belichick, maybe we'll get some in-season storylines.
The problem is all of the reasons why we're all interested has nothing to do with football. It's like, what is the dynamic between these two men?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, sure. Hey, can he... I don't know.
I kind of like your idea. This is Petrino. This is a spot that Belichick wants out. If it goes poorly, Petrino could be there to maybe also get another long-term audition.
I don't know if it's the goals or the. I mean, I know it's got to be in the back of Petrino's mind. It's got to be in his mind somewhere, right?
But his last two jobs that he's picked to be an offensive coordinator have been places that you did think the head coach could be gone.
And, I mean, he's the one with the college football experience and would take over. Because the Belichick thing, I don't know. You really think Belichick's going to last a whole nother season? I mean, and this, of course, the other rumors are out there, as you mentioned. But, even if he quits in the offseason, then they elevate Bobby Petrino. I don't know.
Weirdly enough, because
I was
curious. I was like, is there another link in Tampa to Belichick? Because obviously he's burned plenty of bridges on his way out the first go around.
There's some type of Glazer.
Their general manager, Jason Light, was the director of player personnel for the Pats.
He was a slappy. He was one of Belichick's slappies. But there's some type of connection, between the Glazer family and Belichick.
Is there?
Well, that was the whole thing is, at one point before Brady went down to Tampa, yeah, that had been a landing spot for Bill when it was going poorly with him and Kraft.
Right.
There's some type of link between the ownership families and Belichick.
So you think it could happen?
If I'm Tampa...
I mean, yeah, I know if you're Tampa, you're not doing it.
If I'm Tampa, I'm probably not doing it at this point.
Neither one of y'all are Tampa.
Okay,
what
is
Tampa?
That's what I'm trying to
think.
I'm
close
like,
enough.
You have, we
okay,
we
know you human.
Okay, but like, the last two hires
you should represent
were at least sensible.
Right.
Like Bruce Arians had been a good coach. That was a sensible hiring.
And then Bowles retiring out of
nowhere.
Then
retires and you give it to Bowles, and then Bowles had done nothing to deserve getting fired until really this year.
Right.
Like they had been,
and honestly,
up and
what
down,
Belichick
like,
has been doing is only hurting his case for another job. And most like he's not being successful in North Carolina. Jordan's making the headlines most of the year. Like he's not doing any favors for himself. Like if he'd be doing better just doing Manning cast, and then I would still believe he would have a shot.
Yes, I actually think we would have a higher approval rating if he would have just done. The
trust in him to run your program.
The first half during Manning cast, and then the other TV stuff that he was doing.
Right,
like he came across fine, and then he gets to North Carolina, and you're like, oh my god.
Right. So he hasn't done himself any favors, and that's at the end of the day, possibly what's going to prevent. I mean, most people don't want to touch him. And have him miss their coach, I would not be surprised if he comes back. I mean, that's what the coaching carousels work, and he's one of the greatest of all time. So the idea that he does not get another shot, I would never say never on that one.
I kind of buy he is blackballed in the NFL.
It's very possible, but I would say never. Is everybody going to be in sync on that? Everybody, all 31 other teams? That are not the New England
Patriots?
That's
a good question. Usually the team, though...
Do they all want to win?
The team that usually appear that goes against blackball rules are the Browns, and that just doesn't feel like the Haslams would hire Belichick. But they've been the most willing to buck whatever the NFL policy is.
Yeah, that's...
All right, I got another one for you. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bill Simmons. All right, I have to know... Has the Swiftieverse been watching the BS report?
I mean, I know they're breaking down the tape from Bill Simmons on what trying to figure out. And if he leaked that Taylor Swift was pregnant, how would he know? Is what I'm trying to. Why? How would Bill Simmons be the one to reveal that Taylor Swift is pregnant? But the Swifties are always reading the tea leaves and trying to figure out what is the next move for Taylor Swift, and now they're trying to figure out if she is possibly pregnant because of something that Bill Simmons said. And I just think we speculated if she's been pregnant before. Swifties speculate that. Is she pregnant? This could be the next news to drop. I don't think she is going to.
Well, this could also, though, this would also go to like the lower profile, doesn't want the cameras at the games.
Yeah. So that's fueling the speculation.
Correct. So for those that don't know, it was in discussion of the Chiefs-Titans game yesterday. It's officially a feel bad for Kelsey. Guy's a Hall of Famer. He's getting married to Taylor Swift, having a kid with her, probably flies everywhere private, has private security everywhere he goes, and he's just kind of running around the effing Titans game trying not to get hurt. Just fake an injury and did the whole thing.
Yeah, having a kid with her. Yeah, they're probably going to, but she's very strategic on this. I do not think she is pregnant at this time, as she is going to have her wedding,
anyone,
and then she's going to.
Has anyone pulled the Swifties? Like, is there like a, I need to know, like, what is consensus in the Swiftie kingdom?
If she's pregnant or not?
Yes.
The Bill Simmons slip up is, fairly new here in the past 24 hours. So I feel like, I have not checked into it. I haven't been onto the Taylor Swift Reddit or anything yet, but I will get back to you. I'm saying I just don't believe it. I think Bill Simmons is just like misinformed or slept up.
But
it's
he was just going quick.
Conflating some different stuff that's in his mind and slipped up when he was going on right there. I don't think it's happening yet, but it will. I mean, it's going to. But the wedding is 6 months away. So I feel like she's not going to have a baby before the wedding. She's not going to be pregnant at the wedding. I would not think.
All right, Notre Dame USC. All right, Kevin, how do you feel about, as our resident Notre Dame hater? Notre Dame and BYU.
I've been defending them, declining the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I hate Notre Dame. But I understand them not wanting to play in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
The top two at-large teams left out of this year's college football playoff field have agreed to a home-and-home series beginning next season, which marks a halt in the Fighting Irish's longtime annual series with rival USC for the foreseeable future. The 2026 game in Provo, Utah is filling the final spot on Notre Dame's schedule as the other 11 games have been announced. Both Notre Dame and USC have said they want to continue the cherished rivalry which began in 1926, but USC has expressed concern about the timing of the game, wanting it to be played earlier in the season when most Power 4 teams play marquee non-conference games. The USC-Notre Dame game in South Bend typically takes place in October, while the matchup in Los Angeles ends the regular season. So this is the signal that this will be the 12th game. I don't know. I just kind of felt like this had been signaled for a while.
Sure, but it's official. It's another...
I mean, I do think this is something Notre Dame is going to start to actively do more, which is they are going to look for teams to be, that will be more credible opponents later in the season.
And they should do that, yes.
The problem is a lot of the schools, like BYU's, like that's kind of like maybe the top of what you can get. Because a lot of these SEC schools, they're agreeing to deals with them, but they mostly want them played early in the season.
Right. So, but, I mean, to me, I mean, it's just not the tradition. What does Notre Dame have? Like their tradition, right, and the history, and playing USC, you know, is part of that. And those two teams playing as a Southerner, like you still kind of care.
It's
about
a uniform
that.
Game. You're like,
yeah,
okay, this is
very,
cool.
It's very cool,
yeah,
right?
No, it looks good on TV.
But people wanted to see Notre Dame versus BYU so bad in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Well, this time they just want to give. They want to make sure there are no opt-outs.
Yeah, so we're going to see the game now in the regular season. It's not a great trade. I mean, what are your thoughts? Like they're working on schedule replacements, right?
Yeah, so, this like, to me is like
can Memphis get in and play Southern Cal?
I'm betting USC wants their three non-cons to be like scheduled wins.
All three?
Yeah. Because the Big Ten plays the 9-game schedule.
Yeah.
That's what I'm betting.
So that's why it's ending?
Well, the biggest reason it's ending is Notre Dame wanted to keep, like, USC's like, we'll play, but we want to play you, like, the opening game of the year, the second game right. of the year. Because maybe we want to play you in, like, Vegas.
Especially after this year.
Correct. Like, they Lincoln Riley doesn't really want that big game. This, to me, marks the, I know Notre Dame thinks like we've got to try to figure out ways to balance our schedule and to have more games later that could be resume lines, and BYU feels like a safe bet. Like, will BYU be the best team in the Big 12 next year? It's like, maybe not, but you do feel pretty confident that they're not going to collapse.
Right.
And so, like, I think that's a stable bet.
Sure, but, like, long-term, will it still have, like, every year, USC, like, it's still, like, it's USC, right? Like, you know there's going to, like, they may not be great, but you, because you've scheduled them and you always played them, it was never counted against Notre Dame. I don't
know. No, but the problem is, like, they were not going to keep the USC game on the terms that they wanted, so that one's going away.
Well, another tradition gone.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt's going to join us. We'll find out if he's ready for some Biff in his life, maybe on a long-term level. And let's talk some Grizzlies with him next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
CJ Hurt's a Grind City Media personality. You can see him on weekdays on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on the Everything app at ConRadicalness. CJ, when Brandon Clark goes down with a calf strain, what was your reaction?
It was that. It was, oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Like, how is this team so snake-bitten? I don't understand. And you feel bad. I felt bad. Heart broke for BC. Somebody who does it the right way, battling through injuries, battling back from injuries the past, what, 2-3 seasons. And then for that to happen, I was like, oh, no. Not now. Not like this. And you just hope he recovers quickly. I was glad that it wasn't an Achilles or anything like that. And so hopefully he comes back and is still able to give something. You just hate for players' careers in any sport to be cut short because of injury, man. That's not their fault. That's something to do with things that we can't really control. So for BC to go down, man, it's painful. I know it's painful for him, and it's painful as a Grizzlies fan to sit there and watch him go through that.
Yeah, it's one of the toughest ones because, like you said, there's a human element where you're like, man, that sucks. But there's also, like, I don't know, I kind of had come into the season thinking anything that you get from BC felt like it was going to be gravy because, you know, when he's going and getting the injections over in Europe, that's usually not the greatest sign. And honestly, though, I found myself, based on his first game back, like, I was not really paying attention to the stat sheet. I said, like, I want this just to be eye test. And I thought eye test, he looked really good. That's where I think it started to, like, kind of be, man, this is a freaking bummer. It's because I thought physically he looked pretty good in his first game back. And then, you know, that happens early on Saturday night. And you're just like, all right, well, here we go again.
Yes, his second game back from the injury. And like you said, that first game, he's been out so long, you're not looking at anything from a stat standpoint.
I did not care whether or not he shot the ball efficiently.
Just wants to see, like, okay, what does he look like out there? Because he's had two lower body injuries the past two seasons. And he's such a quick twitch guy, somebody who can get up into the air really, really fast, explosive. We know if he gets a pinky toe in the paint and is able to get to that floater, we know that's money, that's lethal. And to see him in the first game, the first possession, get a foot in the paint and then elevate up for that little jump floater that he does, he missed it, but was like, oh, he still got the bounce. The concern was he wouldn't have the bounce. He's older, he's dealing with lower body injuries. The fear I had in that, and I think a lot of people had, was, hey, he's not going to have the bounce. You can't bank on that. But the first game, he was bouncing all over the place. He was a regular Tigger. You know what I'm saying? Just bouncing, boing, boing, boing all over the place. But, oh, okay. Maybe he is. Maybe Coach Isolo wasn't just blowing smoke up our butts when he said Brandon Clark is more athletic today than he was this time last year. Maybe there's some truth to it. And then to go out early in the second game, first quarter, right? In the second game.
Yeah, I think it was like 4 minutes in or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the part was like, oh no, not again for BC and by extension, not again for this Grizzlies team. They what, nine people on the
I feel like now when the PR account sends out the injury report, I feel like they have to like take two screenshots and like it's two pictures to be able to get the full injury report in.
I was gonna say I'm making a list and I'm checking it twice, trying to figure out who is hurt, who is not. Like, can we go through the list?
I think it's nine names tonight, right, CJ?
I think it's important that if somebody's got the official list of who is out tonight, I do think it's important to look at it because it's go ahead, let's go.
BC is out.
Yes.
Vince Williams Jr. out. John Morant out. Ty Jerome out. Scottie Pippen Jr. out. Zach Edey out. Javon Small out. John Conchar out.
Seven. Eight. Okay, so
it's eight. I beg your pardon, not nine.
It's eight. Yeah, man. Like, that's tough. That's tough. And it's not many teams in the NBA who can win games when they're missing eight players from their roster routinely, right? Like, this isn't a one-off. This isn't a okay, this is a tough injury spell for the Grizzlies, but everything is fine. No, this is routinely multiple times a season for long stretches. It seems like the Grizzlies are down 7, 8, 9 dudes, man. It's concerning.
Was Saturday night deflating? Like, because I was trying to think about this. Like, I try not to get like wrapped up in the whole emotions of, you know, I realize in 82 games, like, it can be long. You're going to have losses where you go, really? They lost to them? But it was this kind of weird thing of, like, there was kind of some symbolism of getting maybe back to 500 after the start that I was like, man, that kind of would have been nice. And then you just find yourself at the end of the game going, oh, boy. Well, and, like, they didn't change. Nothing has changed in the standings. They're still ninth. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, there's nothing about the loss that was, like, truly demoralizing, but it just felt like it kind of, I don't know, it felt a little deflating to me.
I think the loss to that Wizards team, a team who only won 4 games, you lose to them, and it's hard in any circumstance not to feel sort of deflated a touch. You couple that with, we thought Jaren had turned a corner, and you looked up and they lost that game in large part because Jaren couldn't stay on the court with the fouls. If Jaren's on the court there in the third quarter, you can't tell me that the Wizards find a way to come back into that game. Now, granted, the Grizzlies could have played better defense. The Grizzlies could have found better ways to get better shots offensively, but it's Jaren was a walking mismatch. Everybody else out there looked to be on a similar plane. Yeah. And Jaren was the one who stood out the most. When Jaren was on the court, just give him the ball and clear out and then let Jaren go to work. And Jaren was getting good looks at the rim and getting buckets as well. And so you couple those two things, the loss to a 4-win team plus the Jaren foul situation. And when you saw what Jaren could do when he doesn't get into foul trouble, you know, 28 and 31, the two games last week, if I remember correctly, I think that it's I can understand why some would be deflated. Now, like you said, standings hadn't changed. They're 2 games out of 500. And listen, they beat a good team, didn't they? They beat the Timberwolves, who were shorthanded, but still, they beat a good team.
But that team turned around and beat the last week. They turned around and they beat the Thunder. Now, to your point, Anthony Edwards played on Friday night, but, like, yes, that was one of those games where I kept, like, waiting for the Timberwolves to make their run, and no, the Grizzlies just, like, kept them at arm's length and made plays down the stretch.
Yeah. And so, listen, it's one of those things where, all right, they can beat bad teams, but they struggle against good teams. Well, they beat a good team shorthanded, but they still beat a good team. They lost to a bad team, you know, right? Like, that's the type of thing that this Grizzlies team is probably going to look like this season, and they'll need to fix that if they want to get back to being a playoff team, not a play-in team, where they are consistently beating good teams and bad teams. Right now, you can't beat a good team and then lose to a bad team and then beat a bad team and lose to a good team. You got to start trying to string together some wins here. And again, it's hard to do when you've got 8 dudes out for various games, when you're missing 2 of your 3 best players for long stretches of the season, be it Jaren and Ja, or Edie and Jaren, or Edie and Ja, or did I hit all the Ja and Jaren? I think I hit all the combos there. It's just hard to do, man. So here's hoping that they go out there tonight and execute at a high level and get a win and put themselves right back in, you know, that one game outside of 500 rank.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit for you. Are you ready for permanent interim Biff Poggi as the coach of the Michigan Wolverines?
Listen. I'd rather you coach that damn team. What are we talking about?
Well, at least Biff is run like a hedge fund and maybe he could contribute to the NIL. No, like, I'm not Biff at least giving you money.
Biff can't do, man, you almost got me ready to curse, and it's the week of Christmas. Biff can't do nothing for me. Biff can take his ass someplace else. What are we talking about here? Biff Poggi as interim. Like, you got me hot, Kevin. Man, Biff,
well, what should you do?
Remember what Biff was at Charlotte? Not hire Biff. What are we talking about?
CJ, Charlotte might be low key, like, impossible job, but he did not make them better.
You've become the official, you know, Michigan correspondent for 92.9 ESPN here. And so, what should Michigan? They haven't made a decision yet. We don't know for sure what's happening. What is the path for you that will make you happy as a Michigan fan?
Make me happy is hiring a good coach.
Who? What can they do here?
There are tons of good coaches out there. Grab one, hire them. And one good coach tells you no, find the next good coach. Here's Ward Manuel, the athletic director up there, had a meeting with the players and said sometime between after Christmas and before the bowl game, that is when they are expecting to hire a coach. It's Michigan, so you know it's always going to be the gotta have a Michigan man type of talk going on. So do you go to somebody who's got a tie to Michigan? I will point out that the guy who coined the phrase Michigan man, he himself, Bo Schembechler, was not a Michigan man.
Miami of Ohio
Michigan,
man.
Right? Miami of Ohio and Ohio State man. So I like Jesse Minter, like him a ton, defensive coordinator from the 2023 national championship team. But there is a faction of folks who want them to get away from that, want them to get away from Jim Harbaugh all the way away because of the Connor Stallion side of things. And then you throw into it Jerome Moore behaving the way he behaved. And so, we're done with this guy. Let's get rid of him. But Jesse Minter would be a great coach. And just because everybody else was and by everybody else, I mean, it's Jerome. Just because Jerome Moore behaved in an inexcusable fashion doesn't mean everybody else will. And Minter has a show cause because of that Connor Stallions situation, but he had a 1-year show cause and it runs up this month. So December 28th, I think he can come back and there'll be no penalty. Got Mike McDonald as well, another NFL defensive coordinator for the Seahawks. Wait, McDonald?
No, he's the head coach.
Never mind. He's not leaving. Marcus Freeman is down there at Notre Dame. You can holler at him and see what's going on.
Were you disappointed?
I like Tony Elliott.
Were you disappointed that Oklahoma lost? How sad were you that Oklahoma lost on Saturday?
Yeah. I was more sad because, they didn't. From a hilarity standpoint, that would have been the funny stuff right there. That would have been can Michigan actually go out there and get Alabama's coach? We talked about it with Ole Miss and LSU, how there are different tiers to this thing. And most of us would think that Michigan and Alabama are on the same tier. And let me be honest, around here, everybody thinks Alabama's a tier above Michigan. So if Michigan's able
to take Alabama's coach, yeah.
That if Michigan is able to take Alabama's coach, that would be real funny to me. And then, because we all think we know Lane Kiffin, we all think that Lane Kiffin would like that Alabama job way more than any other job in the nation. Mm-hmm. So then for Lane to do Ole Miss dirty for the LSU job, and then the very year he takes the LSU job, Alabama comes open, that would tickle me as well. The only thing that I would find funnier is if Lane would somehow find a way to get kicked out of the LSU job just to get over to take the Alabama job, right? So that, from a humor standpoint, you have DeBoer to Michigan, Lane pulls the same stunt he pulled on Ole Miss on LSU to get to Alabama, and then LSU is out still looking for a coach. That's the thing that disappointed me the most about it. But, you've got Utah's coach.
I was going to say, what do you think about Whittingham?
I like Whittingham. Whittingham, the coaches I named, Minter, Whittingham, Freeman, I'm going to throw Elliott in there out of Virginia. I think all four of them are better coaches than what Jerome Moore was. So if you can get somebody like that, we're cooking with fish grease, baby. It's all good and it's good to go. But you have to make a decision here soon. Again, the portal opens. That's the next big date for the college football calendar is the portal. It opens up on the 2nd. And so you want a coach in place before then so that they can, 1, work the portal, and 2, keep some of this young talent from leaving and transferring out of the program.
Well, I mean, okay, so Jeffrey, you don't think there's a chance Kalen DeBoer still would leave?
No, I think he's actually telling the truth right now. But
would it not be smart? He's going to possibly lose, if he loses to Indiana, isn't it just not smart for him to bounce now while he has that opportunity before the heat gets back on him?
I mean, I think he likes his young quarterback that he's got. in Keelan Russell. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's also this question of, like, if you take the Michigan job, who do you work for? Do you work for Ward Manuel? What if this investigation goes poorly and Ward Manuel's fired? They still don't have a president.
You like the infrastructure and the setup at Alabama.
I think you know what it is. Like, yes, yeah. There's still some craziness, but there's, I mean, CJ, would you say that
you have to
that
fight Michigan's off the fans really?
That's yeah. Michigan's devoid of all craziness. Like, I think there's just crazies whenever you have these big time jobs.
I think that if the hire is DeBoer, then everything goes away, right? Like, I don't think that there's, I think they find whatever they find in the investigation. It's like, all right, Ward, you can keep your job because you've done a good job of replacing Sherrone Moore, right? Like, this is a, if we are grading this situation for an athletic department, Michigan gets an F because you can't have a dude on staff stalking and threatening to kill himself when he loses his job because of his failures and his misdoings as a man, right? You can't have that on staff. So that's an F. But if he hires somebody like DeBoer, situation becomes like a B. It's like, oh, well, we upgraded, you know? And so we'll take that. And then the pressure leaves Ward. He can sell positivity in the program now, and everything is good to go. So then DeBoer comes in and is working. He and Ward are hand-to-hand, like finger crossed, hand-holding hand in this thing together. Now, depending on the hire, it depends on how things go for Ward Manuel. Now, would you rather be in that type of situation in Michigan where, to your point, Jeffrey, you might not know who's going to be the next athletic director. You don't know who you're working for, and there's different factions in the athletic department and in the booster club fighting and vying for power and influence. Or would you rather stay in Tuscaloosa, go 9-3, go 10-2, get to the second round of the playoffs, lose a hard-fought game, and then everybody be like, you know what, we got to fire this guy. That's not good enough. That's not enough. Would you rather be in Michigan or be in Alabama where it's championship or bust literally every single year? Not just championship or bust, but also you better be beating Auburn. You better be – don't lose too many to Auburn. Otherwise, we're going to have ourselves a big old problem. So it's a good situation to have if you're a good enough coach to be able to handle it. Well, on one side, it is – the weight of expectations. On the other side, it is, hey, who am I working for, and what can I do with this really, really good program? I don't envy DeBoer, but there are much worse things you could be doing as a head college football coach than deciding between Michigan and Alabama.
All right, CJ, we appreciate it, my man.
All right, y'all.
He's the new Lane Kiffin, right? We wondered who would rise to that spot, but he is the hottest name.
I think he's telling the truth at this point. I know we are.
I'm not saying in the negative. I'm just saying from the.
No, I know we are very skeptical of coaches when they open their mouths, but it's been a while since we've had a coach straight up saying, like, I don't know how else to tell you, I'm going to be the coach at Alabama.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, it's not happened as frequently as you think.
So, breaking news this hour: the Kansas City Chiefs are officially moving
to Kansas.
Moving to Kansas. What is going on in the NFL? My goodness.
70% taxpayer-funded stadium.
Going across the border.
They're going back. Kansas won the Kansas-Missouri rivalry.
Again. For that team. But
correct.
For the Royals still.
The Royals are still in that same district. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, Rick Pitino has been stumping for his own player, his old player, Mark Pope, and he had a message for the media. You all need to learn a little bit of a lesson as writers because you're expecting Kentucky to be this great basketball team with all those injuries. You all need to learn a lesson because you can't be a great basketball team without your two best players with no point guards, no big mans. Everybody really exaggerates one or two games or three games. Kentucky got blown out, and usually Kentucky doesn't get blown out in any games. Okay, but you have to look at it when they come back, two gigantic pieces. I just think everybody's looking at it. This is a $20 million roster, and they've lost a bunch of games. Like,
right. No, for sure. They had that reason. Like, the honeymoon is over for Pope.
It is indeed over. All right, my man. Merry Christmas to you and
Merry
yours.
Christmas.
He, of course, is Kevin Cerrito. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.